This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey everyone, this is Craig, and wouldn't you know it, I'm sitting here editing this episode for you, and then I realized that Jeremy and I completely forgot to talk about the fact that we now have tea available through Whimsy Tea, which is a local shop here in Springfield, Illinois. And so I wanted to make sure I jumped on here and at least told you about the tea. And so then that way you can go and pick some up for yourself. He is going to be shipping it everywhere. We thank Gordon for bringing us this opportunity. So you can have breakfast with the boss, and you can see our PBB artwork on there. It's very beautiful. So go and check it out. The description says a delightful shortbread black tea with notes of caramel and almond, the official hot brown garbage water of peanut butter and biscuits. So you can go and check that out. You can add it to your cart just for $15, and then he will make sure that he ships it out to you too. So the way that you find that tea is by going to whimsytea.shop, or you can also search for Whimsy Tea in Springfield, Illinois, and you'll be able to find it there. Or look at the show notes as well, because I will link it there as well. So with that, we'll go right into our preview for Shrinking.
Barbecue sauce.
Hello, all you Lasso and Shrinking fans. This is PB&B Shrinks, a new Shrinking fan cast from NPR Illinois Community Voices and the Front Row Network. I'm your host tonight, Craig. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Jeremy Gechner. How are you, Jer?
This feels familiar. I feel like we've done this before. This is it's starting to come back to me, like Celine Dion. It's all coming back to me now, but it still feels unfamiliar. The Shrinking Show? I mean, come on. Has Ted Lasso been out of our lives that long, Craig?
I think it's so funny because, first of all, it does feel like bizarro that we're on our Ted Lasso podcast talking about Shrinking, but we'll get there. But I will say that so many people in our social media at the end of the season said we should now go back and review the entire series of Ted Lasso as some people that have perspective on where the series is going. And while that sounds like a wonderful idea, I would suggest that, dear listener, you start up your podcast now where you can go through every single episode. And you better believe we'll have you on as a guest. It'll be great. But I don't know if I'm up for that necessarily.
Yeah, we encourage people. We always want to see people starting their new podcasts and stuff. I want to listen to your podcast, dear listener. As it stands now, though, of course, we are going to set our sights on Mr. Brett Goldstein's other show that he was doing pretty much simultaneously with season 3 of Ted Lasso. I think it's going to be fun, though, Craig, because you can see a lot of similarities, especially in the humor style, definitely in like the quick-witted writing of this series as well, Brett. And you could tell where some of the stuff he wrote in Ted Lasso and everything. This is going to be a lot of fun comparing and contrasting these two series.
I completely agree. You know, a lot of times I talk about how Shrinking feels like Ted Lasso with a bit more of melancholy in it. And so I'm interested in seeing where the characters develop from there and all of that. But before we get there, Jeremy, it's been a minute since both of us have been on a podcast, but it's also been quite a long time since you've been on a podcast. I want to blow you up for a second. For those of you that don't know, in the Springfield, Illinois area, we have this great outdoor theater. I happen to be part of Beauty and the Beast. We mentioned in our West Wing episode, but Jeremy and Sarah got to direct their first show out there, and rave reviews across the board. I mean, people that kind of all walks of theater life around our community have said it is one of the best shows ever put on out on that stage. And that is high praise, sir. So congratulations. How's life? Are you adjusting to, there's this thing called sleep, which I know you have never necessarily been a fan of, but sure. You know, I think, are you at least experiencing some of what us normies call sleep?
I'm back up to like 4 hours or so. So that's good. As opposed to the two we were getting during the show. No, I do greatly appreciate those compliments there, especially from you, especially from everyone. It was Sarah and I's first time trying to do a show that big, and we had a great team and the cast knocked it out of the park. We were so, so, so happy with it. And yeah, I mean, but we were very ready to be done. And if I'm being honest with you, it's a perfect time, Craig, because now I can get back into the podcasting. You know, unfortunately, all the actors and writers are not going to be doing interviews for a while on any properties coming out, but we can still do these kinds of shows, these recaps and all this kind of stuff. And I really have missed it. And of course, MonsterCast coming up. I'm very excited to be back. And you know, if I'm going to have my first foray back into podcasting for quite some time, it of course needs to be with you, and it of course needs to be in the TED sphere. So just really, really looking forward to it. And yeah, thank you to everyone who came and saw it and supported it, and rock on.
Absolutely. You know, I will say that if you had a chance to listen to the last episode on this feed, it was a conversation with Mark Bernardin, who has been on the picket line as a member of the WGA for over 100 days now, which is just wild that this is continuing on. But what that means is that, you know, the Emmys are supposed to happen in September. I would say they're not going to happen in September. I don't know if I'm breaking news there or prognosticating, but I doubt that the Emmys will happen in September. So once those get pushed, or if they get pushed, then we will be able to talk about Ted Lasso, of course, moving forward, because they're up for so many Emmy awards. Our friends AJ and Mel are both up for editing awards. We want to make sure that we do still have the ability to revisit Ted Lasso as it comes through. Hopefully we can get some more interviews with maybe some of the creatives from the show. But of course, once the strike breaks, then we should have some interviews, hopefully with cast members. That would be wonderful.
The floodgates of all of it. And very, very important note here as well is that the SAG-AFTRA rules actually do say that entertainment journalists and stuff like us, we can keep reporting on shows and stuff like that. That is a part of the rules. We, of course, everybody here at the network stands with SAG-AFTRA and the WGA. So, you know, one of those things, but we're playing within the rules here, guys, but we're gonna keep doing that.
Yeah, and if you go back and listen to that conversation with Mark, I kind of put it point blank, and I will tell you it's because honestly, I was invited to a press junket for Disney on my other show, and we were really kind of contemplating what should we do with this. And as Mark mentioned, one of the benefits, I guess, if you can find a benefit in any of this, is that at the moment, we are being able to highlight some more of the craft categories, because when you do go to a press junket, you're getting to talk to composers, you're getting to talk to directors, you're getting to talk to production designers, cinematographers, visual effects artists, the people that maybe you don't necessarily get a chance to talk to in that kind of a press junket style when you have all these actors around. So that's not to say that I don't want the actors back, because I do, and I want them to have a fair contract. But you know, as those opportunities become available, if they become available, we will continue to book some of those interviews and be able to talk about Ted, be able to talk about Shrinking. But I'm certainly hoping that in the relatively near future, our buddy Luke Tenney can come back once this is resolved, and once the producers finally bring a reasonable proposal to the union. And hopefully we can get all this resolved, right, Jer?
Yeah, it's one of my dear, dear hopes that we get Luke on to recap one of Sean's better episodes, or like an episode that's like very, very focused on Sean in this whole thing, because I think that would just be so much fun, not only just for us, because, you know, look, we've interviewed Luke twice now and he's just an absolutely delightful human being. But like to actually get to like walk through an episode and like ask him about like what was happening here and like how did you film this and that kind of thing. It's going to be pretty, pretty great there. But we are going to try, everyone. We're going to try to get some cast members from this show as well, because there's a ton I want to talk to, including some Emmy nominees from here. So I don't know, maybe we can get Harrison Ford on here too. We'll get him out of his bunker.
Are you kidding me? That's the day I quit podcasting, people. Yes, the day that we get to talk to Harrison Ford, I just go, okay, I'm done. I can turn in my microphone. And yeah, we've
accomplished enough here.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that it would get any bigger than that. But, you know, it's interesting because actually I had the chance to talk to Luke even three times. And so if you go back on our feed, you can hear my initial press junket interview with Luke. At that point, I had only seen two episodes of Shrinking, and I still knew that he was going to really be a star of this show. And then also afterwards, we were able to talk to him more about Shrinking when Jeremy was involved in the first conversation. And then we did that midpoint Ted Lasso recap, which is really fun for those of you kind of reflecting back on the third season and seeing where we were completely wrong on our predictions of what was going to happen moving forward. And so it's going to be really fun to be able to dive into another show like this with you, buddy. And, you know, I think that, of course, you talked about the connective tissue between the writers and the creators of this show. It's almost as if you take that creative team of Brett Goldstein, Bill Lawrence, and Jason Sudeikis, and you just swap Jason's with Jason Segel, and you get a lot of the creative team of Shrinking as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Bill Lawrence has been one of those producers that just like just solid gold, like what this guy touches. I mean, ever since Scrubs and stuff, like, you know, and Cougar Town, like he just has this like innate ability to like, you know, like find the great writers, the great comedy writers in TV of any time, and really just give them like a unique voice in this. This show is like really, really good. You're right. Not just in the sense that like it strikes this amazing chord between the show is almost like therapy in a way. It strikes this amazing balance between comedy, grief, catharsis, and, you know, kind of just dealing with things in ways that people don't usually do. And it's kind of a way to give us permission to work on ourselves as well. And I will tell you this, if you thought I was annoying breaking down the music choices of Ted Lasso, I'm going to annoy the crap out of you in this series, because this is one of the best like TV soundtrack, like series soundtracks I've ever seen. And we're going to have a whole section, I think, just for like Jeremy's music breakdown.
A lot of it picked. We learned by Luke Tenney that a lot of it is picked by Krista Miller herself. And of course, she is Mrs. Bill Lawrence and had such a great run on Scrubs as well. So it's really cool to see her back in the fold of this kind of a show. But this is what I thought we would do today, is that today's going to be kind of our preview episode. And we do anticipate going back in and basically starting to do what we did with Ted Lasso and breaking down every single episode beat by beat and talking about them. But before we did that, I thought we could do kind of a non-spoiler introduction to the show for those of you that maybe haven't picked up Shrinking yet, because I would highly recommend it as Ted Lasso fans. You know, you talk about therapy and how it feels like therapy, and in a way it does, but it's also funny because we spent the whole season three talking about how Dr. Jacob was an unethical therapist by his relationship with Michelle. But you better believe that this is going to be a lot worse in terms of the ethical boundaries that are going to be talked about in Shrinking as we move forward, and especially with Jimmy, Jason Segel's character. I almost said Jason Sudeikis. I promise you I'm going to try so hard not to do that. But guys, if I do, just understand it's only out of love. But that's what we're going to do today, is kind of break down a little bit about our first impressions of this show in a non-spoiler way, and then also kind of introduce you to our cast of characters. Because, you know, when we get into these actual episode recaps, they're going to be going kind of hot and fast. And I think it's a good thing to be able to like kind of get a preview episode out here at the beginning, and then that way the next episode we have, we'll dive right into season one, episode one, the pilot of Shrinking, as we do know it has been renewed for a second season. So you want to get into it, Jer? Let's talk about our kind of initial impressions about this show, and I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I mean, so do you want me to hit some synopses here, or do you want to just like...
It's completely up to you. Running. You know, I think maybe what we can do is more of like just a thought of the show in general without giving spoilers about it. Sure. Sort of, you've seen the show a couple of times now, I know, and I'm going to be revisiting this. This will be my fourth time through the show as we go back in and really watch it. But if someone is thinking about the idea of watching Shrinking, what would you tell them about this show?
Sure. So I would tell them that the show, you know, broad spectrum here, it's, you know, about a therapist named Jimmy that is dealing for a while now with the death of his wife. And we learned that very, very early. And that Jimmy is, of course, a therapist. And it's one of these things where it's just like, what happens when the person that you're supposed to go to, where we learn in society, you're supposed to go to these people for help with grief and with things that you can't deal with. What happens when those people have something that they can't deal with and that they need to grieve about? And so basically the whole series is him trying to come to terms with this grief of losing his wife, and kind of melding into this entire malaise here is, of course, his teenage daughter, his coworkers played by Harrison Ford, and an Emmy Award nominee here. And I think the standout of this series, Jessica Williams. And then, of course, his neighbors, played by, of course, you said Krista Miller. And then an amazingly funny Ted McGinley, who, you know, I still see Revenge of the Nerds every time I look at this guy. And he's just so far from that character in this show. He is also a hidden gem in this. But, you know, I think what really strikes you about this is two things. One, the comedy of the writing. The writing is very raw. And so, like, it's almost in a way like it's dealing with emotions, but the jokes are just kind of like thrown in there as very matter of fact line delivery. So that even, you know, it's not like one of those things where you're just going to be like rolling on the ground laughing, but every single thing that you hear in the show is going to make you laugh. And then once you start thinking about it a little bit more, it's going to make you laugh even more. So basically, that's the kind of the basic rundown of it. It's just like, you know, therapist loses his wife, and basically he arrives at this breaking point where he's stopping with the norms, and he's not going to basically keep these boundaries up between what he really thinks about some of his clients and, you know, what he allows himself to tell them when they're in their sessions. So it really is kind of like this idea, I guess, two competing philosophies there, Craig, would you say, about, you know, should therapists get very involved with this, or, you know, should they kind of, you know, stay with their boundaries even when they're hurting?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that Paul in particular kind of highlights that sort of more old school thought of therapy. Harrison Ford, of course, being a man of his 80s in real life, you know, he is brought on in this show as sort of that person that is thinking about like the traditional thought of a therapist and trying to mentor, particularly Jimmy, Jason Segel's character throughout. And it really creates this great chemistry between the two of those characters. I will tell you, myself personally, I don't know that Harrison Ford has ever delivered in a way that he does in Shrinking. I think that he is, you know, you mentioned, rightly so, you mentioned that Jessica Williams is a standout because of her Emmy nomination. But I'll tell you, Harrison Ford, to me, it doesn't get much better than what he's bringing to the screen in this role. And I don't traditionally like to just like bring in, especially when we're talking about Lasso and stuff like that, I don't like to just go to IMDb and like research the trivia and whatnot. But I did for this episode tonight because it's a preview. And I'll say that one of the first things that you see on IMDb trivia is that you see that Brett Goldstein had written the character of Paul to be Harrison Ford like, and it was actually Segel that said, you know, we should just try him. And I mean, we at least need to give him a shot. He can tell us no, and then we can move on to someone else that's Harrison Ford like, but let's at least give him a shot. And I'm so glad that Harrison Ford joined this cast, because this has been, I think, a role that he's going to be remembered for in a way that his acting is not necessarily always appreciated. You know, I think of him so much, of course, as not only Han Solo and Indiana Jones, but also Jack Ryan. I mean, you think about him in all these really action-packed roles, and I just love the fact that this, to me, really grounds him in a way and provides some real intrigue into his character that I think is just stellar. And I mean, he's crushing it every single episode.
Yeah, criminally under or criminally not nominated for an Emmy for this.
I'm really surprised that, I mean, if you think about it, like the Emmys in particular, because so much of and this is kind of a change in television in general. It used to be that if an actor took a TV show, it's because their career was on the downside. Right. But now with streaming kind of mixing everything together, these A-list actors are always taking these A-list kind of projects that are going to be for the small screen or for streaming services or whatever the case may be. And so they generally are being recognized in that way in the Emmy nominations. I was very surprised. Now, Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that Ted Lasso stole a lot of those spots. And I'm glad that our own Jamie Tart, Phil Dunster got in there as well. But Harrison Ford probably deserved to be on that list. And maybe he will be for the second season.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, you're right to call out his work though here. It's absolutely stellar because it's a great archetype of the curmudgeon like character, but he gives it so much depth just in like the very tiny little amounts of heart that we get to see from that character. And especially in his interactions with a lot of different people. Again, I don't want to even spoil like minimal little things, but there's one particular relationship that his character Paul has in the series that is fantastic to watch play out over the course of the whole series. And it really is one of these things, you know, again, like it does this great way of showing us how connection is important and how meeting people where they are is important and how sometimes, you know, the boundaries that we put up around ourselves really are a hindrance, not only to helping them, but to helping ourselves as well. And I think that's actually a really good theme with Ted Lasso, because Ted Lasso's entire philosophy of sports is really about improving mm-hmm. the person first, and then the sports will follow. I mean, I think I said that in one of the episodes, which was like, when you get to the professional level, most of the players there are capable of amazing things and amazing talent and amazing performances on the pitch or on the field, wherever. But usually the ones that really excel and really succeed are the ones who are at peace with themselves and who are just being authentic and don't really let all this other stuff get dragged into their performances. So I think what this show really shows us again, though, is that nobody can do it alone. Even if you're not dealing with a trauma, you need support. You need other people around you who care about you that can help you get through, as the amazing theme song of this series Frightening Fishes states there, you know it's an entire deconstruction of like the lone wolf thing. It's like everybody needs somebody to help, including the amazing title sequence as well. But again, we will probably get into that in our first episode.
Yeah, and so you're saying it's basically just like Poopy. We just need to let it flow, right? I mean,
let it flow.
We can definitely bring the benefit of this, dear listeners, is that we will absolutely bring in some of our Tedisms. We will bring in some of our Ted Lasso insights into these episodes. So that if we haven't convinced you already to watch along with us in Shrinking, what I will tell you, and this, dear listeners, will be very difficult for me, and I think it'll be difficult for Jeremy as well. We will probably find some less annoying spoiler sound effect, because we did hear back from our social media that our old spoiler sound effect was a little bit much. But we are going to attempt to watch these 10 episodes of season one in a way that does not spoil future episodes, because we want to make sure that if you are watching Shrinking for the very first time, that you're not going to be spoiled. Of course, Jeremy and I have already seen this season multiple times, but I think that this will be a more challenging way for us to podcast, but I think it'd be more fun for you as the listener. Now, what that means is we probably won't be speculating on what's going to be happening necessarily in future episodes, because then that just might be a little corny and fake, but we're going to try as we might to kind of keep away from the spoilers as we move through the season. And, you know, again, talking to Luke in that midway season three interview, he had said at the time that he was going to go back into filming in about 2 months. Now, of course, the strike has completely upended that and completely changed that, but we are going to get a season two of Shrinking. Now, it might be delayed much further than we thought it was going to, depending on how long this strike lasts. But we do know that at least if they were going to go into filming at the 2 month mark, midway through season three of Ted Lasso, so we're talking like probably early May, then likely a lot of the good portion of the first scripts at least were written at that point. So we're hoping that we will be able to continue this on into season two and do watch alongs with Shrinking as it's coming out. And who knows, along the way, we also want to make sure, like I said earlier, bringing you that Ted Lasso content as well. So that's kind of our goal with this particular show, is to not just have it be a Shrinking podcast this moving forward, and that's all we're going to talk about. We want to be able to still bring you Ted Lasso news, and who knows, we might still get that coveted fourth season. It was the director of the finale of season three the other day was involved in a press junket, one, by the way, that we were invited to, but then we were told
no time for us. Thanks, Apple. But he did say that, of course, they had filmed season three finale, much like it was the end of the show, because that's what they thought at the time. But there's a lot of other ideas out there, and kind of a never say never type of an answer. And so I do think that we will get some Ted Lasso news, especially once the strike is resolved and we're able to really hone in and focus on these awards. I think as people start to do more and more interviews leading up to the Emmys, we will start to hear more about what Ted Lasso looks like. But I think the what Brendan Hunt said in his Ask Me Anything, and then also what the other creatives around the show have said, is that it's probably 2 or 3 years out that we get another season of Ted Lasso if we do. So it's not going to be immediate. And I think that shrinking can really maybe fill the void for a while, because honestly, I love this community that has come together around this show. So I really hope that you will follow along with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we've got enough connections here in terms of Brett and Bill. And you're right. Like, just tilt your head a little and Jason Segel can, you know, be Jason Sudeikis for you. No, but this is a very similar kind of show. And I mean, like, you will see it when you start watching it with us, just from the tone of the show. You know, it deals with real things, but it does so in a more optimistic, you know, way, in terms of, you know, we're dealing with grief, we're dealing with problems, but it never feels like it's just like this beat you over the head hopelessness that, you know, you would typically see from, you know, a drama with this kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to this, and I hope you guys come along with us. And hey, we do need your guys' help too, man. If you've got ideas for like the names of the sections of the show, like we had Tedisms and we had all those other things, you know, shoot us some names on the Facebook group and on the posts of this episode here. Let us know what sections you think we should do, music corner, or like, you know, find a quote type of thing as well. We want to know your thoughts, so let us have
Jimmy-isms doesn't quite work as well. Jimmy-isms, I don't think so.
Nice,
but yeah, so we really need your help naming some of these segments, so hopefully we can.
Is, I think most of the best quotes come from Gabby, so
oh, gabbing with Gabby, gabisms. Ooh.
We're working, figure it out, guys.
Safe dick. Wait, spoilers. Sorry.
Spoilers, man.
Spoilers. No, I'm so excited to dive into the show. But before we leave, I would be bereft if I did not espouse my love for one Jason Segel, because he really is the heart of this show. And what I love about our interview with Luke, you can go back and listen, and he talked about how Jason really embodies this character. He really is such a pro. He comes to set fully memorized and he's ready to go. And I think that's because he seemingly put a lot of himself into the character of Jimmy. I'm someone that, you know, going back to How I Met Your Mother, I was way more of Marshall than a Ted. That's just me as my personality, that hopeless romantic. That's just who I am. And so I absolutely loved him in that. I love Forgetting Sarah Marshall. It's one of my favorite comedies. And then, you know, I'm a Disney guy. And so Jason's love of the Muppets and how he brought that to screen in a big, bad way. That movie is so much better than it has any right to be. And it is so good because of the love that he put into it. So I've loved Jason Segel for a long time. And so when he was coming out with this show, in addition to our writers and producer of Ted Lasso, with Harrison Ford and with Jessica Williams, are you kidding me? Sign me up. Right. You know, it was such a no-brainer. So that's why it's a no-brainer for us to continue on with this as well. But it's weird, buddy, because we don't have a lot of those like Tedisms to fall back on and things like that. I say that because I'm not even sure how I'm necessarily going to end this podcast. So that's where I'm at right now. But for all of you loyal listeners that stuck with us after Ted Lasso, thank you so much. Please share this with your friends who might be interested in shrinking and coming on board and talking that show with us as well. It kind of opens us up to a whole new audience. You can still continue to find us at Peanut Butter and Biscuits on Facebook. I don't know what we're going to do there, Jer. Maybe we can put shrinking in the, I don't, whatever.
I don't know.
We can figure something out there. And then also we are still on, I guess we would do we call it X? I think we still call it Twitter, right? PBBFRN.
Yeah, what do you call it?
Of course, Peanut Butter Biscuit Time on Instagram as well. And you can still always email us at frontrowlasso@gmail.com. Continue to bring in all of those reviews. We'll continue to read those as we have in the past and all of that. But Jeremy, before we hop out of here for this preview episode, any final thoughts?
No, I think you hit them pretty well. Really excited to go on this journey. And of course, now that we are past our shows and stuff of the summer, we're going to be doing a lot of stuff for the Front Row Network, getting a lot of exciting things going, which is of course what we're a part of at NPR Illinois. So you can always find us there, nprillinois.org or the Front Row Network on any of your socials.
Yes, I should promote my other shows just because I can. So Beyond the Mouse is going strong. We are kind of retooling for the fall and starting to talk all things Disney over there. And then Cinematic Horizons. We are on episode 4 of Cinematic Horizons, which means I just spent last night watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It's incredible that kind of a movie is Steven Spielberg's 4th film that he brought to us. So it just continues to get better and better on that show as well. So check out Cinematic Horizons wherever you find podcasts as well. But
I'll plug mine as well. My MCUHQ is getting started again. We've got a lot of stuff. We're going to be doing a Secret Invasion review here pretty soon. Gearing up for the Marvels for Loki season 2 coming out in October. But we're also going to be doing a couple of like kind of updates on where we think the MCU is and such like that. And pay attention in October to the Front Row page, folks, because a long-running fan favorite series might just be making a reappearance.
Man, you just got all those people excited out there. It's so funny to go back and read your reviews for that particular show because they are very funny. Some of them are like, sometimes you have something so great enter your life and then it leaves immediately fleeting into the night. So I'm sure that you will have lots of fans that will be excited for that particular show to return. And you'll have to find out later on if you follow along with us what that show is that we're talking about. But it's going to be great talking shrinking. So please, in the social medias this week, we're going to be asking for suggestions for the themes of different segments that we're going to be doing. But the next time you hear our voices, unless there's breaking Ted Lasso news, you'll be hearing season 1, the pilot of Shrinking from Apple TV Plus. So make sure you go out there and watch that and get ready for the beat by beat breakdown on the episode. But Jeremy, I guess we say for PB&B Shrinks, I am Craig.
And I'm Jeremy. And
insert line here to be determined. But
a smaller goldfish,
right? A goldfish that'll fit in a water bottle, 84 ounces.
Yes, there you go. Be a water bottle goldfish.
Drink water. Drink water. There you go. Drink water. It's healthy for you.
Oh my God. We'll work on it, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio Illinois. For more from the Front Row Network, including our articles or our other dozens of shows, visit thefrontrownetwork.com or nprillinois.org/programs/frontrownetwork. You can also find us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and on Twitter @FrontRowReviews with a Z.